Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to H-Town Wheelhouse Podcast. This is the quick hit, the first quick hit of 2020. It's January 9th, 2020, and we are 44 days away from baseball, boys and girls. Thanks for tuning in. Next, you'll hear my first quick hit of the new year. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. This is H-Town Wheelhouse, and here is a quick hit. Now, a couple things I want to look at as we are 44 days out. And since we're 44 days out, something I'm going to be writing about here pretty soon on Astros Fanatics, found on WordPress, is Yordan Alvarez. So let's start with that. I'm going to spend a couple minutes on Mr. Alvarez. We all know Yordan Alvarez was Rookie of the Year for 2019. He took on 81 games in the regular season and just did phenomenal. This Yordan Alvarez kid has the ability to not just hit for power, but to hit all sides of the field. I think the sky's the limit with him. And the league, I believe, took notice. They took notice at his ability, at his just unwavering approach at the plate. He had a .313 average with 58 runs, 98 hits, 26 doubles, 27 home runs, 78 RBIs, and 52 walks. He did strike out 94 times, but his OPS was 1.067, the highest for a rookie in a long, long time. The question was posed to me by someone on the MLB Locked On Facebook page. Well, not posed to me. It was posed to the Astros fans. Can Yordan Alvarez be the best hitter, or is Yordan Alvarez the best hitter in this Astros lineup? Now, young players that get projected out as the best when you're surrounded by Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, Springer, Gurriel, Correa, guys like that, it's hard to put a label on such a young player. But I think there's a case to be made that Yordan Alvarez may be one of the most complete hitters on this team. And in 2020, is he going to be the offensive leader? Is he going to lead in average, in RBIs, and in home runs? I mean, this guy is probably going to hit close to 300, if not over 300. If you talk about average-wise, I think you've got to keep Altuve and Brantley up there. Home run-wise, you've got to keep pace with George Springer. If Carlos Correa can stay healthy, he's got to keep pace with him. But is Yordan Alvarez the best hitter on this Astros ball club? That remains to be seen. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say, and I'm going to make a prediction of what I think Yordan Alvarez is going to do. I believe that Yordan Alvarez will hit somewhere in the neighborhood of 305. I believe that he will hit at least 45 home runs, and he will collect 120 RBIs. And I believe his OPS will be between 990 and 1.050. That's kind of exact, but I think that's where he's going, and I think that's where he'll be. So that's my talk about Yordan Alvarez. Next, let's talk about the Astros catching situation. Much has been talked about in recent days about Robinson Chirinos signing with the Texas Rangers, and which is a really good pickup for them. But a lot of people are wondering why the Astros aren't going out and getting Wilson Contreras or Yasmani Grandal or just, you know, these other catchers that are out there. The Astros made their choice this offseason. They decided that Martin Maldonado was their guy. Not only was he their guy, but they signed him for 2 years. That says a lot about what they think about Maldonado. Now, in in my recent readings, I like to do my research, and so definitely want to give credit to Jesse Sanchez. He's an MLB writer, and I caught this on the Astros website. He talks about Maldonado's pop-up time and his rank among the American League leaders in 2019. And also he talks about arm strength. So I'm gonna quote some things to you. Maldonado has a 1.96 average pop time, is ranked among the leaders in 2019, and his 87.1 mile per hour arm strength on his max effort is also among tops in baseball. And so with that being said, the Astros definitely put a lot of stock in his defense, and that's why they have him. Now behind him, they have Garrett and they have Garneau, and I don't even know if Garneau's going to be a part of this ball club in the long run. I have no clue. And I know there's one or two other people that they have in the wings, but I don't know that they're major league ready. And one of the things that Maldonado has is he has a history. We all know about his 2017 Gold Glove season, okay? That was when he led all catchers in the category of pitch framing. It was plus 20 in 2017, okay? Also, Garrett Cole's success last year. The most success Garrett Cole had was when Martin Maldonado was behind the plate. So it goes to show that the Houston Astros, I believe, have the best starting catcher when it comes to defense in all the American League West. Who are the others? What other contenders are there? You have the Texas Rangers, who took on and agreed to terms with Robinson Chirinos. But behind Robinson Chirinos, they had Jeff Mathis and Jose Trevino, who they ended up with the season. Young players, unproven players. You have the Mariners. The Mariners, they felt really good about Tom Murphy and Austin Nola, that they traded a starter to the Brewers for pitching prospects. And so they've got Tom Murphy, who they think will lend them dividends. The Athletics have Sean Murphy. He's Oakland's number three prospect. Again, I've been looking at this article and definitely want to give credit with Jesse Sanchez. He wrote this. It actually came out yesterday. I was reading this, and I'm like, man, this is something we need to talk about. But they have Sean Murphy, and also they also have Austin Allen, who's their prospect. I think the only other real threat at catcher would be the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, as they signed Jason Castro. Now, they signed him to a one-year, $6.85 million deal. Max Stassi will be back there. They will be sharing time behind the plate. But Jason Castro was someone that was mentioned with the Astros as a possible target in the offseason. They obviously didn't want to pay him the money. That's why they paid Martin Maldonado. And yes, Jason Castro, I think, gives you a better chance at the plate, hitting the long ball, hitting for higher average. And he is an excellent pitch framer. I just think it wasn't the offensive, it wasn't the priority to get an offensive catcher. Look at the last several world champions. Very few had really, really great offensive catchers. It had to do with catchers that were defensive players and that did the job behind the plate. And that's where the Astros are going to be resting on and putting their confidence in Martin Maldonado. He is called the machete for a reason, and he mows the runners down. So right now I would give the Astros the top billing for the American League West when it comes to the catching position. All right, folks, the last thing we just want to talk about is the Houston Astros do go into the season with a few question marks. In the bullpen, we did see another relief pitcher signed somewhere else in Hector Rondon. I don't know that the Astros planned on having him in the mix or as an integral part of the team going into 2020, but nonetheless, there is another hole there created. But the Houston Astros actually have quite a few arms that they can depend on. They have guys that have some major league experience. You got your, you know, guys like Cy Snead. You have Framber Valdez. Nobody knows where he's going to land. Christian Javier is a name that's a hot button name that a lot of people are projecting him to have a major impact. You've got Chris Devinsky. They have a gentleman that they signed or that they put on the 40-man roster, Kent Emmanuel. You've got Josh James. You've got Connell Perez. We re-signed Joe Smith. There's Blake Taylor. He's a left-hander. He's on the 40-man roster. And so we have Enoili Paredes. Man, I butchered that. I feel horrible. I should have looked at that before I said it on the podcast. Oh, well, we'll keep going. We also have Nivaldo Rodriguez. So we do have a lot of options. Now, did we go sign some sexy pick? Did we go sign some big reliever or Will Smith or someone like that? No, we didn't. No, I didn't mean Will Harris. I meant Will Smith, the reliever, who they kept calling Will Harris during the World Series. Anyways, I digress. But the Astros, I don't think, have a dire bullpen situation like everybody makes it out to be. I just don't see it. We do have a few lefties that are on the 40-man roster, and we'll see if any of those guys land a spot. You got Dean Dietz waiting there in the wings. We've got a lot of talents too. I know we've given a lot away. But the Houston Astros, I don't think, are going to be bottom of the barrel. Now, we don't have the Yankees bullpen. The Dodgers may be better in that area. But bottom line is this. The Houston Astros have a real good outlook in 2020. I think the only thing really that concerns a lot of fans right now is not the free agency thing or the lack of signing, because if you're an avid fan, you know why they haven't signed. And if I see any more people questioning why haven't the Astros signed more people without really, I mean, you know why? They don't have any money. They're at 229 or right at 230 million. They don't have the money this season. They're not signing because they're being frugal or because they don't want to improve the team. They literally don't have any room to spend, and they don't want to go any more over the luxury because they don't want to pay the fine. I get it. If I was Jim Crane and I was a businessman and I had that kind of money, I wouldn't want my bottom line affected anymore as it is. I got to pay for those FanFest balls that I'm handing out at $150 per autograph. You know? Anyways, so the Houston Astros, I think, are going to be fine. I still think they're going to be among the top five in bullpen, and I think our starting rotation will do a phenomenal job. Well, hey, this is H-Town Wheelhouse. This has been a quick hit. Thank you so much for listening. Y'all have a good one. We are 44 days away from baseball. I'm out.